Hope y'all have had a good week, and looks like most people remembered to set their clocks forward. I was thinking this morning, this was a change that we knew about was coming. It didn't take us by surprise. We could plan for it, make preparations, and set our clocks ready. And Kevin sent out the warning and said, change your clocks. But I've been reading nowhere in the book of Job, and man, he said he is waiting for his change to come.
That's right.
And now that's a change that we don't know when it's going to happen. But one of these days, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And I don't really look forward to daylight savings time changes, all that stuff. It messes with me. I wish they'd just leave it alone, but I look forward to that change one day. One of these days, it's coming, so I'm thankful for that. All right, we're still over in the book of 1 John, and we've been here for a while. I don't have intentions of taking so long on this stuff, but I don't really know how to do it otherwise. It just don't seem like. And if you got some advice, I'll take it. I don't know that I'll listen to it, but I'll do the best I can. But anyway, so we've been looking at John, or 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read these same verses down, verse 1 down through verse 6, and we'll get started. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And so several different things that we've already looked at, we've found that there's a purpose that we sin not, a provision, that's the advocate that Christ is, the propitiation that he's made for us, the proof that we have. And last week we looked there in verse number 4 at the problem with a lot of people's claim. But here today, what I want us to see is a production, and that is in verse number 5. It says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now at first I had the word perfection there, but I was afraid that somebody might get confused because of the way we use that word today. You know, we think that perfection means that there's no problems, no issues. Everything's exactly right. But when you see that word in the Bible, most generally, it's talking about a completion, a maturity. You brought to the point where you're supposed to be.
Right.
And that's what the Scripture's telling us right here. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So I want you to see here in this verse as we look that God is producing something in this person, bringing them to a point. Bringing them to a purpose. And so the first thing I want you to notice here in verse number 5, it says, but whoso keepeth his word. I want you to notice the character of this person. The character. This person is a person that actually keeps his word. And we could go back and look at that definition we've looked at the last couple weeks, but what that's telling us is that they esteem God's word highly. They regard it, they listen to it, they take heed to it, they follow it, they do their best to adapt their life to live by the Word of God. That's the description, that's the character that we have right here. It don't say whoso saith they keep his word. You notice that's what it said in the previous verse.
Right.
If you look back up in verse number 4, it says he that saith. That was the claim. But you notice here in verse number 6, there's no claim to be made. They're not having to claim anything. It's just the lifestyle. It says, in verse number 5, it says, but whoso keepeth his word. It doesn't say that they make a claim or that they're trying to make a name for themselves. But Jerry, what they're doing is they just live their life day in, day out, trying to do the will of the Lord. That's the person that it's describing right here. Whoso keepeth his word. And I really like that word, whoso. I looked up the definition in Webster 1828. It's a real simple definition. You know what it says? It says, any person, whatever. That was the definition that I found. That's real simple, ain't it? Mm-hmm. So you know what that tells me? Is it don't matter if it's Kevin, if it's Josh, if it's Jerry, Matt, Kelsey, whoever it is. All of us, whoso. Anybody that has a desire to go after God, that wants to live after His Word, you know what you can do? You can do just that.
Sure.
There's no requirements on that. There's no prerequisites. It's just you get a desire for God and you go after Him, you can live after Him.
Oh.
And you know what He does over and over? He just continually reveals you more truth and truth and truth and just brings you along the way. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He doesn't say you can get to know me and you can't. It's not like that with God. But you notice this verse, as I've already said, it's about a character. And when we talk about a person with character, I'm talking about somebody who's got integrity. Somebody that's different, that stands out in the crowd. Brother Kim, it's somebody that whether they're at work, whether they're at home, whether they're at school, whether they're at church, whether they're with friends, with family, or with foes.
Right.
Don't matter. You know what they are? They're the same. They're following after God. That's the person that it's talking about. Whoso keepeth his word. That's what it's referring to. And this person does not have to go, as I said, they don't have to go and sell themselves as a Christian. They are what they are, just like Paul said. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
This person just does it. They just live. They have a desire to live for God. They don't have to go out up and down the streets with a sign. I don't have to put bumper stickers all over my car. That's not necessary. This person just lives it. Just lives it. I wish today that our church people would quit trying to make themselves a name and just be real.
Right.
Wouldn't that be good? If instead of going on Facebook or whatever and doing hashtag faith or prayer or anything like that or all those things, man, if they just get on their face before God and pray, if they just do it, just really do it, and not just talk about it. We've got a lot of people that just talk about it, don't they, Kristen?
Yeah.
They talk about the Christian life. They say, well, I'm a Christian. I go to this church. I do this. I do that. And they want people to know it, too. That's not the point of it, Nathaniel. We ought not do what we do for our own glory. Our desire in doing the will of God and following what He says should have nothing to do with your recognition or my recognition. In fact, we ought to be happier when we get to do those things in quiet when nobody knows. And that way, when the reward comes, you know what happens? You know where it came from. When only God knows, only He can reward you for those deeds. Folks, what does it matter here if people glorify you here? It won't last for eternity. That'll be wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. Man, I want some gold and silver and precious stones. And we shouldn't desire. I want to be real careful there because I appreciate encouragement. But I ought not do what I do for somebody to come to me, Joe, and tell me how good I am. But I don't want you to think I don't appreciate that encouragement. I sure do. And we need it. We need each other's encouragement. But don't mistake that. It's one thing to do what you do to get that. It's another thing to just get what you get because you're trying to honor the Lord. And so we got to be very, very careful there. But this person here that is talking about, man, they're just pleased day in, day out. No regards to their name, Joe. It's just they want to live for the Lord. And they do that. And it'd be good for us to do that. So the question that I have here is what kind of character are you? What kind of character do you have? What are you like when you're by yourself? What are you like when you're with your friends? You know, maybe some of this might, I'd like to say this affects the young people more, but the older I get, the more I realize old people's just alike. You know what we try to do? We try to fit in with the crowd. Had this talk with Eli the other day. He said, Daddy, do you ever find yourself trying to be like the people that you're around and know you're not supposed to be? And I said, son, that's something you'll always deal with. I said, but what you'll realize is you'll never be able to fit in as a Christian.
That's right.
And you should just learn to be happy about it. I don't know what else to tell him. If you know something better, tell him. Hey, that's just honest.
Right.
You will never fit in this world. Here, you might fit in the church. We ain't home yet.
Right.
My citizenship is over there.
Hey.
And, man, you get born again and God starts changing you and doing things in your life. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. We are. And they're going to look at us and they're going to think we're weird. You live a life like this is talking about right here. I want to be a whoso keepeth his word.
Yes.
If I'm a whoso, you know what people's going to do? They're going to notice.
Right. Yep.
And they may not like you. That's just the way it is, ain't it?
Right.
They just may not like it.
Right.
In fact, they ain't going to like it. And so we have to purpose in our hearts, regardless of what they say or what they think. Dustin, I'm going to offend people I work with.
Sure.
I can't help it. Oh, that's right.
Right.
I had one tell me the other day. I got to be careful, but I'm going to tell you this. Just this fella, we just hired him at work. And I can't help but find out where people stand. I mean, I just can't help it. I got to know. And so, you know, you find ways to bring things up, talk to them about the Lord, and ask them about salvation. Oh, I'm born again. I'm saved, he said. Amen. I said, amen. But he said, I'm a little different. I said, well, we ought to be. And then he said, yeah, I believe in reincarnation. And I just went, oh, no. And the Lord helped me real good right there. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, you ever read that verse where the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die? I said, you only get one chance to die like that. I said, what do you think about that? He said, boy, that's a good one. That's what he said. And you know what's the truth about that? You know, I don't know where the guy stands, how confused he is. I don't know. But if he's a Christian, you know what God will do with that word? He'll fix all that for him. God does a work in the life. And he might have him there just for such a time as this. You don't ever know. You say, well, a person that's saved can't. But there's a lot of people who believe a lot of crazy things. A lot of them don't know no better. So be careful before you judge somebody like that. But I don't know why I said any of that. But what kind of character are you? It's real easy to live right, Kevin, if you're around me. Man, I can look good. I try to. And I can talk right. I can walk right. I can do all those things when Kevin's around. He's my preacher. Brother Matt, if you're around, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing. But what about when I'm at home by myself? When I'm out driving down the road by myself, what's my radio turned to? What am I looking at on my phone? What's on my computer? I'm saying that for me. You can plug yourself in. Thank the Lord that God helps us through those things and brings us along and matures us. But the question is, what kind of character are you? See, the thing is, if you don't get the first part of this verse right, If you don't have the first part, then you can't apply the truth that's in the latter part. I'm not saying you aren't saved if you're dealing with these things. I'm just saying if you want the peace that comes with it, you've got to have the first part right. And so we see the character of this person, but look next here in verse number 5. So it says, "But whoso keepeth his word," it says, "in him verily is the love of God perfected." So we don't just see a character, but we see a completion. God is completing a work in this person. And for every believer that's here today, God's desire is to bring you to that level of maturity in the love of God. And I want to stop just a minute here, and I think, understand that when he says, "in him verily is the love of God perfected," he's not saying that we're living right, Nathaniel, to gain the love of God. See, a lot of people might read that and think, well, if I live right, then God's going to love me. But that's not what the Scripture teaches about the love of God. And look with me. So in the New Testament, you'll find that phrase, the love of God, I think 13 times. 5 of those times, you find them in the book of 1 John. 1 of those times is in, I think, 2nd or 3rd John. I don't remember. So, I mean, he knows a whole lot about the love of God. He has a whole lot to say about it. And so I want you to look at these passages with me so we get an idea of what he's talking about when he says that, that the love of God is perfected in us. So here is in chapter 2, verse 5, we see it. But look with me in chapter 3, verse 16. We'll just go in order. The Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Look at verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So there's 2 more places. So we start understanding what the love of God is. It's him loving us. And that, in turn, when we understand that he loves us, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. It produces a love in us for him, and then also for others. That's what this is talking about. It's all tied together. You can't love God and not love the brethren. It don't go to... The Scripture makes it clear it's an impossibility to love God and to not love our brethren. But look on over here in chapter 4, verse number 9 and 10. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So we understand the origin of the love of God. It came through the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And then lastly, in chapter 5, verse 3 here, it says, "For this is the love of God." You notice it was God's love for us in the previous passage. But in 5, verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous." So this one deals with us loving him. So God loving us, us loving him, and us loving others. It's all one. You can't have one and not have the other. It's all part of the same package. That's the package of the love of God. You get all of it. So I want to look at just a few things about the love, how we get a hold of that. And the Scripture has a whole lot to say about it. But look with me. I want you to see how it was first manifested, which we've already touched on a little bit in the book of Titus. Book of Titus, chapter 3. Just keep your Bibles open. We're going to flip several spots right here. Titus, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You notice that. We hated one another. The Bible tells us that. But look at verse number 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So when did mankind grasp the love of God? When was it first made real clear how much He loved us? I would say it was through the Lord Jesus, wouldn't you? That's how we perceive the love of God. I'm thankful for the cross, aren't you? Herein it was manifested. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He made Himself known to us. That was the love of God. But look with me. So that's the manifestation of it. But what about the dispensation of it? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. So it's one thing for us to see it and to it be manifested to us. But how does it get from just a vision, just a knowledge of it, to actually getting down on the inside of the believer? Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You see, you cannot have the love of God in your heart apart from the Holy Ghost doing a work in you. So you can see what God did for you all day long, but until the Holy Ghost does a work in you on the inside, it won't do anything for you. And we have to have the Holy Ghost to do that work. If we want to be what God wants us to be, it's going to be the Holy Ghost doing that work on the inside. And His desire is to bring us to that love of God. So we have a manifestation, a dispensation of it. But then look at the expectation in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." I don't know what I said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But 3 through 5 there. But you notice that Paul said that the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So Paul set an expectation on the Lord right there. He said, "I have enough confidence in the Lord that the Lord's going to do this work." He said, "He's going to establish you. He's going to keep you from evil." Then he said, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do." So he's talking about now and then future, that you will do things which we command you. He said, God's going to do such a work in you that He's going to produce something that makes you do what's right. And then you're going to continue to do what's right. But then in verse number 3, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." So Paul set an expectation for the Lord that He does what? That He directs your heart into the love of God.
Right.
In other words, there was a time it was manifested. There's a time that it was shed abroad in our hearts. But then after we're saved, there's an expectation that it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, our knowledge and understanding of the love of God, and which means it will have a greater effect on us. And he said, so there's an expectation for God, but then he expects something out of us. He says, and into the patient waiting for Christ. So then the expectation is once we grasp a hold of what the love of God really is, that it ought to make our love grow for Christ and make us have that patient waiting and looking for His appearing.
Right.
That ought to be the desire in the heart of every believer, is if our love for God is right, it's where it's supposed to be, every day the thought of the coming of Christ should be sweeter and sweeter.
Hey.
Sweeter.
Yep.
And if that thought never crosses our mind, then I venture to say that the love of God is not perfected in us.
That's right.
I think the Scripture teaches that. I think what happens is that the more we grasp the love of God, His love for us, it makes us love Him better and love others. When He's doing that work in us, it can't help but draw us to that desire that John had over in the book of Revelation, where he said, even so, come Lord Jesus. He said, come quickly. There was a desire. That's why Paul could say, I'm now ready to be offered. There was a longing in their heart to lay eyes on the Savior because they were ready. Their hearts were perfected in the love of God. How do you know that about Paul? Well, he was ready to die for the people. That's what he said. He was willing, brother. He was willing to be accursed. He was willing to give everything he was and everything that he had for the cause of the Savior and his love for the people. I believe if anybody had the love of God perfected in their heart, the Apostle Paul did. And I think we understand that John did too. He was longing for the Savior. And if you don't have a longing for the Savior, then there is a problem. But I'm going to venture to say that the majority of us don't have that longing that we should have.
You're right. That's true.
If we did, our lives would be different. Our families would be different. Our church would be different. We ought to have a desire to lay eyes.
Hey.
On the one who died for us. And that's what it's talking about, the love of God being perfected. There's an expectation. The book of Jude talks about a continuation. Jude, verse number 20. It says, I'll give you just a second if you want to turn there with me. We're going slow this morning, just going through all these passages. Jude, verse number 20. Chapter 1, if you need a chapter number. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Look here. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
That's right.
Now the Bible just told us in 2 Thessalonians that the Lord direct our hearts in the love of God. So there's an expectation of the Lord, and He never fails His part. But you notice what it said in the book of Jude. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, it's God's desire to get you there. But if you want to stay and maintain that, you know what you're going to have to do? You've got to take some responsibility. It'll be required of you. It's required of a steward to be faithful. And you need to be faithful with what God shows you and what He demonstrates through His Word, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then He teaches us, if you keep yourself in that love, look at the next verse, what will happen? He says, and if some have compassion, doing what? Making a difference. If you keep yourself in the love of God, you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to make a difference. And others, what? Save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So there's a continuation that's expected from us. And, you know, probably all of our favorite in the book of Romans chapter 8, right? The fact that there's no separation from
that's
it.
That's right.
Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. There it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there's no separation. No separation from His love. But understand that love, if you've got it, it's a package deal. We love Him because He first loved us. And if we love God, we ought to love the brethren. It all goes together. So, and then I thought I'd just wrap this little thought up here on the love of God with the book of Ephesians. It doesn't really say the love of God. It uses the term the love of Christ, but it fits right in. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, I think. Let me turn over here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." What do you think He's talking about right there?
Sure.
Talking about His love. It says, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Folks, if you want all that God has for you, you got to get deep into the love of God. That's where the fullness is. That's what it teaches us. We start understanding how much He loved us. And when we really grasp a hold of that, we can't help but start loving Him. When you get to that point, you can't help but start it bouncing off of you onto others. You start loving everybody else. You know what it does? It makes a difference. And that's how we experience the fullness of God.
Right.
It's not how much you know, all those things. It's, do you have a desire to love Him because He first loved you? And now knowledge helps. But the more you know, you got to do something with it. Folks, He desires that we love Him because He loved us. And He wants it to produce that difference. And so as we continue on, the Word, you know, because this man that we're talking about back in 1 John chapter 2, because this man's believed and been obedient to the Word of God, God created a character, put integrity inside of him that makes him do something that he would normally not be able to do. You understand that you can't keep God's Word without God doing it in you. Our flesh is not subject to God, and it can't be. So it's only through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost and the difference that He makes. And so that word that's used, "in Him verily is the love of God perfected," what that word demonstrates is the active working of God in the life of a person that's interested in doing what He says. It says, "in Him is the love of God perfected." Every time you look at it, His love is being perfected in that person. It means brought to maturity. God's work continues. You can rest on this. God's work continues in the heart of every born-again believer. Philippians 1:6. "Be confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He will continue the work. That's His desire. And ultimately, we know that we will be perfected in His love. The Bible teaches us that one day we're going to be like Him, because we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see Him. So when you take interest as a believer in trying to do what God says, there's things that God does in your life that cannot be explained. I'm not talking about signs and wonders.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about things that you used to really care for. You know what'll happen? You'll quit caring for them as much. Things that you didn't care for before, all of a sudden, you'll start caring for them. Those people that you used to not care anything about wanting to help, be around, you know what God will do? He'll put a desire in your heart to help them.
Yep.
See, this is all the work of God. But the responsibility is 100% on God. But you got 100% responsibility in this too. Both of you have a job to do in this. Your job is to be a person that desires to keep His word. And until you get to the point where you want to do what's right, you'll not have any of this stuff that we're talking about. But He is perfecting His love in us, and if you are saved, you can rest assured, one day, you will be right. But Kevin, I don't want to wait till the day He appears to get as close as I can to that. But I think that's the mentality of a lot of folks, is that I know that I'm going to be saved. I know that my soul's saved, Dustin. I'll just wait till He comes to fix all this stuff. What a wasted life.
Right. Hey.
What a wasted life. To be born again, to be a servant and a son or daughter of God.
Oh.
And to live this life as a saint of God and not accomplish anything. What a waste. Wasted wisdom, that's right. What a dangerous place. To stand before God one day and Him as the Lord giving you such an investment and for us to do nothing with it. I don't want to be that person to you. I want to invest what God's given me. You know how you do that? You love this book. You esteem His word. Do I always get it right? Absolutely not. Do you always get it right? Absolutely not. But I want to. But I want to. And I hope you do too. And I think God produces that in the life of believers. But it is your responsibility to cultivate that. So we see that there's a character here. We see a completion. But I want you to look lastly in this verse. We find the confirmation. I need to get into the right book. Hang on just a second. Chapter 2, verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And we find the confirmation right here. Hereby know we that we are in him. We find a confirmation to this person that lives this life. They can be confirmed on the inside that everything's all right between them and the Savior.
Yep.
That's what the Scripture teaches. That's the purpose of this book. That you may know. You can know. If we trust Christ, this person's placed everything they have in Him. They are interested in doing what He wants. They esteem His word. Obviously, there's a character that's been produced inside of them that they couldn't produce on their own. And then that's when you can be comforted that you're in Him. You see, we can stand up here and we can say that the night I got saved, I had all these feelings, and that confirmed it for me. But you can get fuzzies in your belly all day long, but there's no assurance in that. Until you see that God has produced a change.
Yep.
If you are today the same person you were the night you got saved or day, then that does not line up with this book.
That's right.
But if God has made a difference in your life and you have a desire for His word, you have a desire to be closer to Him, and God's doing something with His love in your heart, then you can be comforted in knowing that I'm in Him and He's in me. And what a sweet consolation that we have. But I appreciate y'all's good attention. Apparently our time's up. We'll move on next week, Lord willing. Thank y'all for listening. We'll have prayer for the folks that want to pray down the hallway there.